It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Ho-ho, welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Here at the United Center, Blackhawks take down the Washington Capitals 3-2. Going into the third period, down two goals. They find a way to win in regulation. Who would have thought, after all the third period unravelings of taking leads into the third, it was the multi-goal deficit that the Hawks end up winning in regulation in the third.
And we've got happy music.
We got happy
and
organ
we have
music.
Happy music here in the United Center, and why not?
I mean, Troy is catching on.
Three goals on five shots in the third period, and it all started with the Mikheyev shorthanded effort. You know, we talked about TJ Brody getting beat one-on-one in the first period where the Washington Capitals took the two-goal lead. Mikheyev returned the favor one-on-one with Jacob Chychrun. Kind of does the same type of move, gets in and behind him by just kind of going between the stick and the skate of the defenders, gets it on the other side, goes to the backhand, is a left-handed shot there, fires it up in the top corner, and that got everybody rocking, and the first shorthanded goal of the season. So, you know, give Mikheyev a lot of credit for this victory, and he played really well after that as well. Two goals and an assist his last two games. And then Teravainen, another three assists in this game. So he's got 6 points in the last two games. Plus five, which is great because he was a minus 15 coming into this game. Picked up two pluses in the last game and then three more. So he's down minus 10. Nice job by him to really rebound and do well.
For the Blackhawks to score that shorthanded goal early in the third period, that kind of catapulted this entire third period three-goal third.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of excitement scoring the shorthanded goal for the first time this season, but also really energizing the building. And I think that Washington's a good team, and they're a hard team to score against, but the Hawks never quit. They drove to the net when they needed to, and they only had five shots on goal, and they only had one through about the first 13, 14 minutes. So, you know, it wasn't perfect the way it was, but they got themselves, and I talked about the next goal. Right, it was 2-0 for Washington. If they score that next goal, you're probably really struggling to get back into it. But they scored that next goal, and it took them a long time. No scoring in the second period, and Mikheyev scores that shorthanded goal, and that really gave him a boost.
All right, you mentioned Teuvo Teravainen, and he is our post-game guest, throwing on a headset for us. Teuvo, we've all known the last few games prior to Sunday with the third period, things kind of got out of hand. But to stack back-to-back wins together, particularly in the third period where you guys performed very well, how nice was that to do?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's just the feeling after this kind of comeback, it's awesome, especially home. Just took a while to get us going, but the shorthanded goal got us going tonight.
Yeah, give us a little explanation on that Mikheyev goal, because you knocked it down at the blue line, set up Mikheyev, who did a beautiful move one-on-one.
I had a little room, but then I see Mick just speed going there. I just give it to him, and that was just magic. Great play by him.
You know, if you look at this line, you, Dickinson, and Mikheyev, the last couple games have been great. You're a plus five in these two games. And, what's going on with the line that's making it click so well?
Yeah, it's been fun hockey. We just keep it simple, and I don't even know. Like, we just try to work hard, win our battles, and I feel like we're just getting the bounces right now, which is awesome.
I know offense has been hard to come by for you. You started the first five games of the season with 7 points, went through a little bit of a stretch there where it felt difficult to generate offense. For you, scoring back-to-back games, three-point outings, what does that do for your confidence moving forward?
Yeah, it gives me confidence for sure. Feel a little bit better with the puck maybe after some good plays. And feel like I had some little tough time there, but tried to work hard and get me going again.
The penalty kill has been spectacular in the last little while here. You guys have gone on an incredible run where you haven't allowed a power play goal in 10 straight games. What's the secret to the success of the penalty kill so far?
Oh, I didn't even know that, but I feel like we've been awesome outworking the power play guys, and I feel like both special teams, like power play too, we've been good today. I can't say we were good in power play. I don't know. We had a lot of looks, but penalty kill, it's big. That's how you win the games.
You know, the other day, Anders Sorensen, the coach, talked about, you know, challenging one of the plays against the New York Islanders. And he said, after the game, he was talking about it. He said, I have so much confidence in our penalty kill right now, even if we didn't get the challenge. And it was kind of a hope on the goaltender interference, that the way the Islanders' power play had been having lack of success, and the way that the penalty kill has been just bang on here in the last little while. What does it say about the coaching staff to trust the guys on the players to get the job done?
Yeah, that's for sure coaching staff. But I feel like the players have the trust too. Like everybody in the room right now, we feel good about our power play and penalty kill, which is huge.
Table, last one for you. It's been hard to string together a little bit of a winning streak this season. How important is it going to be to try to finish things off on this homestand and get a good feeling going into that road trip?
Yeah, just got to keep focusing. Just got to forget about kind of next last game and always focus on the next one. So we got one more in home. We got to battle down.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Teuvo. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you.
That is Teuvo Teravainen. Another three-point outing for him after he had 3 points the other day. So get this, Troy. You mentioned, so it's 6 points in his last two games now for Teravainen. He had 6 points total in his previous 25 games. So he has gone on a significant run in this short span. And we talked about it after the last game that he was trending towards potentially being out of the lineup. So for him to put together these back-to-back performances has to do wonders for his confidence.
Yeah, I mean, 100% in agreement with that. And Nick Foligno came down with an illness in the game against the New York Islanders. Rumor was that Teravainen was going to be the healthy scratch in that game. And I think that he kind of knew maybe that that was the situation. So when you get back into the lineup, you know, I better do something. And the last two games, he's been way more competitive. He's been more aggressive, stronger on his stick. And when he's playing with confidence, he's got speed. He's got ability. And if he wins, you know, his share of battles, he's going to make plays. And he has been making plays here in the last two games. And that's good for him and good for the Blackhawks because they need, you know, they penciled in, and we talked about it earlier in the broadcast. So, you know, you pencil in at the beginning of the year what you think is kind of the baseline of what players are going to do offensively. And Teravainen, you mentioned, off to a good start. Everybody's like, okay, great, two thumbs up. And then there was a long time there where, as you just mentioned, he didn't get a lot of results offensively. And those are the players that have to make the difference in these games. You want everybody to chip in 100%, but when you're playing that top six role and you're expected to create offense, you know, he's done an excellent job here the last two games.
You mentioned the power play. So the Hawks had scored three goals today. Two of them at even strength, one of them shorthanded. They had that stretch in the second period where they had back-to-back-to-back power plays. The first one they had quite a few chances on, it couldn't capitalize. The next two weren't as great, even though they did generate a chance or two on the, and I thought we were going to look at that stretch and be like, boy, that was missed opportunity for the Blackhawks. In some way, it kind of feels encouraging that they found a way to win despite not scoring on the power play, because it felt like the power play was driving the wagon in the previous wins.
If the Hawks had lost this game, that's probably the focus point.
Right.
Back-to-back too many men on the ice penalties against the Washington Capitals. Those are just mental mistakes. Those are gifts, you know, to the Blackhawks. So, and they didn't get the job done. 0 for 4, as you mentioned. And, you know, you wanted to have something going on. But they did have offensive zone time. So it wasn't like they were chasing it down the ice. But, and if that hadn't happened, it's a real buzzkill, because just nothing's going on. At least they had it in the offensive zone. The one thing that the Washington Capitals did is they collapsed into the middle of the ice there, and the Blackhawks able to move it around the outside freely. But anytime they wanted to attack, the Capitals were challenging them, and they were in the shooting lanes. It made it difficult to get things towards the net. But it wasn't the buzzkill that you would expect, but it really is. You know, when you get that first goal in the third period, the shorthanded effort, especially the way it was scored by McKayev, that really energized the building. And I had thought that the Blackhawks able to kind of capitalize on that. The Caps did come down, and they had some pressure because they're a veteran team. But again, the Blackhawks just, you know, they stuck with it in this game. And I got to give credit to Sorensen. He's got these guys competing hard for 60 minutes. Whether you win or lose, this team has worked basically every shift since Anders has taken over this team. And the pace of the game is much higher than it was before. And I think the players appreciate a little bit more freedom in how they can play the game. I thought Korchinski, who didn't factor into anything here today, no shots on goal, nothing else as far as going. But I thought that he really excelled defensively. He used his skating ability. He made great first passes. So that's a really good sign. I thought Frank Nazar played a really strong game as well. And those are the players that you're looking at. You know, are they NHL ready? Do they need to go back down? Well, what I've seen here in the last couple of games from both of those guys, they're ready.
Penalty kill, 29 for 29, like we mentioned and asked Teravainen in the last 10 games. This isn't like the Hawks riding this unsustainable save percentage where Peter Mrazek and Arvid Soderblom are carrying the penalty kill. These are quality penalty kills where we're watching, and it's like the Hawks are doing a great job protecting the house.
Well, for the Washington Capitals, what they ended up having, just two power plays?
Yep.
Is that right? Two power plays, and they had three shots on goal. Your best penalty killer usually is your goaltender, because you would expect that there's going to be some high-quality shots there. And you're right. I think they've kind of taken a little bit of pressure off their goaltending, the way that they've had their structure, the way that they've done it here in the last little while. And this also goes back into Luke Richardson's time as well, because this is Sorensen's sixth game of the season. So you're going four deep into Luke's penalty kill as well. And I just think that they've got a lot of confidence in the way that they're killing right now. And a great example was Sorensen, when I was talking to him after the game, said, hey, listen, it's a challenge that we're not 100% sure, but we're going to take a chance on this, because the Islanders' power play had been struggling and our penalty killing has been so strong that we took the chance and they got the job done and they were able to win that game as well. So, you know, special teams have been pretty good all season long, fourth overall in the penalty kill. That's probably going to go down and maybe in the top three. And for the power play, it's in the top 10. Maybe it bounces out a little bit 0-for-4 tonight. But, you know, those are pretty good, respectable numbers on the special teams. In a lot of ways, it's been the 5-on-5, and the empty net goals have made a really big difference in the goals for and against.
This was the first regulation loss of the season for the Capitals when leading through two periods. There were 12-0-1 going into tonight, and that's overcoming a multi-goal deficit, too. This wasn't 2-1 where next goal and you're right back into it. The Hawks had to really overcome. They had to score three unanswered goals to beat an unbelievable Washington team that came into this game with only 7 regulation losses all season. I mean, they're legitimately one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, this was a good effort to beat a good team like Washington. And maybe, you know, you don't take any stock in it, because every team, the Blackhawks, have complained about getting in late and all this kind of stuff. But it was a late flight from Dallas to Chicago. And by the time that the Caps got into bed, because they couldn't leave Dallas, they had a mechanical issue. So they had to go to the airport. And then they had to go to a completely different hotel late at night. And then wake up this morning, fly into Chicago, basically get to the hotel and take a quick nap and then come down here. So it was a quick turnaround. But I thought the Capitals played well. But the way that the Blackhawks stuck with it and battled hard, didn't give up, just, you know, I mean, I'm really impressed with the way that this group has played. And they've got to have a lot of confidence going into that game against the Seattle Kraken. And that's one where, if you're looking at going on any kind of a run, the next two games after that, the Calgary Flames have been very good on home ice, and Minnesota has been one of the best teams in the NHL. Those are two tough road games here. So you'd like to go in there with a real confidence and winning three games in a row in this homestand that you have here and really make a difference on the road.
So we're doing this post-game show from the radio booth at the United Center, and I see former Blackhawk Dylan Strom. There's like a whole posse here to say hello to him. I'm sure former friends and when he was here in Chicago. He's a massive reason why the Capitals are in the standings where they are. I think he's tied for 13th in the NHL in points. He's tied for 11th in assists. I mean, he's having a career resurgence in Washington.
Yeah, he's leading his team in points by 11. and I got to give him a lot of credit, because when the Blackhawks decided to let him go as a free agent, you know, you kind of wondered, you know, is this good? He's still kind of in the prime, or, you know, just getting into that prime area. But I didn't mind them letting him go. It just, you know, maybe there was something there that they didn't want to build on moving forward, and they didn't want to give him a long-term deal with the money that he was going to command, so they let him go. I've just been really impressed how he is He has moved his career forward to where he is now. He competes a lot harder. He was like a Connor Bedard when he was young in his career. He struggled in the faceoff dots, and now he's one of the best guys on the Capitals at 55%. And the way that he's producing, he's such a big part of the offense right now. And when you looked at Ovechkin and all his goals, I think he was factoring into like 80% of Ovechkin's goals on a primary assist. So he's really come along as far as a good player. He's only 27 years of age, so he's got a lot of good years in front of him, and he is driving the bus right now for the Washington Capitals.
Well, when the Blackhawks did let him walk and not give him a qualifying offer, I remember Kyle Davidson coming in here and saying, we want our teams to play fast. We want to play a speed-type game, and that's, you can see all the prospects that the Blackhawks have drafted over the years. You know, we talked to Mike Donaghy, their head scout, and it's always like, oh, give us a scouting report on this guy you drafted. And he's like, fast, really fast. And so I don't think it was anything against Dylan Strome. It was just the fit wasn't going to be there for the kind of style the Blackhawks wanted to play moving forward. And it feels like Washington kind of plays exactly the way that fits his game, where it's like they can just cycle teams to death in the offensive zone because he's so good and tight.
Yeah, he's always had a ton of skill. That has never been an issue, and he's a great playmaker. But I agree with you. One thing that they were concerned about was his speed, and the way that he has played with the Washington Capitals in their style, it doesn't seem like it's an issue. And I'm sure that he also understood that he needed to find a way to gain a step.
Right.
And I didn't see him being slow in this game at all. And I watched a couple other games. I watched the game last night, and you know, he was great. He scored the lone goal in that game. But he's a different player now. He competes way harder. I think that he's matured, and you know, he's in his mid 20s now. And I think that when he was younger, just kind of took him a long time to figure out exactly how hard he had to play and how much he had to compete. And he's getting some great results because of it.
You want to hear a weird stat that I was getting ready to cue up?
Oh, I would love to.
If the Blackhawks lost this game, they were trending in a direction where I was like, okay, wait a second. I remember tweeting out this stat a couple years ago, and I wanted to like up to date, and maybe you can shed some light on the weirdness of it and if there's anything to it or if it's just fluky. So since the start of the 2017-18 season, the Hawks have when goalies that are opposite...
So is that 7 or 8 years ago?
So, okay, they told me there was no math on this job. So since the start of that season, the left-handed goaltenders against the Blackhawks were 17-4-2 over that stretch with a .931 save percentage and 3 shutouts. So the Hawks face Logan Thompson. He catches with his right. Is there anything to that? I don't know why it was so weird to me, but it felt like any time the Hawks faced a goaltender that catches with the right, they have a really hard time cracking them.
Well, I'd have to go back and look at who those goaltenders...
I have it up. Yeah.
Bring it up there. Let's see what they got.
So Logan Thompson is 4-0-1. Well, this was before tonight. 4-0-1.
Well, I think it was with Vegas, which is a good team.
Pavel Francouz, when he was...
With Colorado.
He was 4-1-0. Charlie Lindgren, 3-1-0.
Yep.
Carol Vimelka was 3-0-1 when he was with Arizona. Louis Domingue, 2-1. And then you got Cal Peterson, who was 1-0. And then Michael Hutchinson was 0-1. So you got... There was like a weird stretch there where the Hawks... And some of those games, too, I remember like, my gosh, the goalie stood on their head. Like, how many of those Vimelka starts were we like, geez, he stood on his head against Chicago?
It is weird. And for me, being a right-handed player when I played, like Tony Esposito was a right-handed catching goaltender. When I always came down on Tony, I used to love to go glove side, high glove side. That was kind of my go-to shot when I was coming down. Well, all of a sudden, I'm seeing this big blocker, and it kind of messes with your mind. I don't know if those numbers.
Well, like I think of Patrick Kane, he likes going low blocker because that's kind of hit as a lefty. And so when you're trying to go in that low blocker, and he's like, oh wait, now there's a glove there, and now I have to kind of it's like a psychological thing. I almost feel.
Yeah, I mean it's weird. Just the look of. You're so used to practicing against guys who are, you know, the normal hand, and then all of a sudden you look at the guy that you're coming down to and you see just everything is a little bit different. It can play mind games with you. I'm surprised by the high number of the wins for the goaltender, but I don't know if there's any correlation, but well done for you to pick up that stat.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you got the goaltenders.
I got them all. Yeah, it was the shutout. Logan Thompson has a shutout. Charlie Lindgren with a shutout, and Pavel Francouz.
Find all that like on a computer.
Yes, correct. Yeah, on a computer. Well, what do they call those in your day? Typewriters. Oh, would you look at the time? We got to go to break. That is the.
I got nothing because you're right.
That is the great Troy Murray. We're waiting on some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room. I saw Arvid Soderblom talking. Hopefully, we'll hear from Anders Sorensen as well. The Blackhawks post-game show is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Again, Thompson, a right-hand catching goaltender. Now Donato in front. He shoots. He scores! He jammed his way from the corner along the goal line to the crease and jams it in behind the goaltender Thompson. And the Hawks lead for the first time with 2:18 left in the third. It's 3-2 Hawks.
That was the game-winning goal by Ryan Donato, who scored his 11th goal of the season. He leads the team in that department. Hawks are tied. I think, Tyler Bertuzzi is second on the team with 8. And there's a four-way tie for third between Connor Bedard, Teuvo Teravainen, Taylor Hall, and Nick Foligno at 7. Really good effort by Ryan Donato to score that game-winning goal. He's been awesome for the Blackhawks. We talk about players that have performed below expectations this season. I think Ryan Donato is one of the very few on this Blackhawks roster that has exceeded expectations so far this season. Let's go to our player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. today. You rule. And for the second straight game, I'm going to give this to Teuvo Teravainen for his three-point effort. 1 goal, 2 assists the other night against the New York Islanders. 2 primary assists, I should add. And in this game, he had 3 assists, 1 primary, 2 secondary. He also had 3 shot attempts, 2 on goal. He's been awesome for the Blackhawks over the last couple games after a really quiet previous stretch for the Chicago Blackhawks. I mentioned earlier, he had just 3 goals and 3 assists in his previous 25 games prior to Sunday's game against the New York Islanders, and he had that really hot start for the Blackhawks at the beginning of the season. So I know I mentioned this on the last post-game show, but before Sunday's game, Teuvo Teravainen's last multi-point outing came against the home opener against the San Jose Sharks, which was almost 2 months ago. And so now he's got back-to-back multi-point outings, not just multi-point outings, three-point efforts. And that is massive for his confidence because it's hard for him. He's a very introverted player, and sometimes you don't know if there's a quiet confidence about him or if he's battling confidence issues. And so I think you're going to start to see his confidence grow, and you're going to see it on the ice. It's going to become more evident moving forward after performances like this, because it wasn't like he was lucking into these points with, you know, a secondary assist because it went off his shin pad or whatever. You know, this is him driving play. And so very encouraging to see Teravainen perform the way he has over the last couple games. By the way, Washington was without Alex Ovechkin in this game. He suffered that fractured left fibula last month. And I remember a couple years ago when Washington was here, he scored his 800th career NHL goal here at the United Center. It was a hat-trick effort. And I remember actually pivoting and going to the Washington Capitals dressing room after the game because it felt such a significant moment in NHL history. And his stall was showered with hats. And it was crazy the amount of hats that were in his stall. And so you wonder how things could have changed if he was in the lineup. But also, man, Ovechkin was playing really well prior to this stretch. And I think the Hawks play each other. The Hawks play Washington, I think it's at the beginning of April. And so I was kind of looking at the trajectory of his pace. And I was like, man, I wonder if Ovechkin is going to be on Wayne Gretzky watch when the Blackhawks go to Washington. And so that kind of prevented the Ovechkin from potentially hitting the goal record this season, unless he gets really, really hot in the second half of the year. But yeah, so there's no Ovechkin for Washington, but they have been treading water very well without him. Also wanted to mention, TJ Brody scored his second goal of the season. That was the game-tying goal for the Blackhawks in the second, and it's kind of been a running stat that I've been mentioning as of late. The first 25 games of the season, the Hawks had just 4 goals from their defensemen, 2 of them by Seth Jones, one of them, and Seth Jones is out of the lineup with a foot injury, one of them was by Isaac Phillips, who was in Rockford, and then the other one was Louis Crevier, who had been a healthy scratch for quite a few games in a row. And so now, since then, the Hawks have had 5 goals from their defensemen in the last 7 games. Alex Vlasic has 2 of them. TJ Brody has 2 of them. And now, Alec Martinez has 1 of them. Actually, wait a second. I think it's 6 goals now in the last 7 games because Connor Murphy has 1 as well. So throw in Murphy there. Hawks have been really... I know when Anders Sorensen took over as the interim head coach for the Blackhawks, he wanted the defensemen to jump up in the rush a little bit more, be aggressive more in the offensive zone when it comes to pinching. And we actually saw that on the second Washington goal, where I know it was just an unbelievable play by Andrew Mangiapane, that kind of dancing around TJ Brody. But if you go back and rewind the play into the offensive zone, Louis Crevier had pinched, and Connor Bedard was the guy that fell back into that second defenseman spot. And so that's just a scenario where it's kind of like Hawks want to be aggressive as far as generating offense, but you know that it might lead to some potential odd man rushes the other way. And so the Hawks are probably trying to find that right balance under Sorensen, making sure that they're not giving up too much defensively while also trying to produce a little bit more offensively and having their defensemen more involved in the play so that the Blackhawks can put a little bit less pressure on their forwards to produce offensively, and especially during a run where, you know, when the Hawks made that the coaching change, you know, Tyler Bertuzzi, Taylor Hall, Teuvo Teravainen, you know, all these guys, like Philip Kurashev, like all these guys that were expected to produce were just not producing. And so just getting that offensive just getting some offensive contributions from the defensemen for the Blackhawks, I think helps alleviate the pressure from some of the forwards. And then speaking of Kurashev, he was a healthy scratch in this game, and I don't think anyone is really surprised by that decision based on how he's played of late. And we ended up talking to him this morning, and he acknowledged that he very clearly needs to be better. He was second on the team in points last season, playing mostly on a line with Connor Bedard, pretty much the entire season or a majority of the season, and so he had that chemistry with him last season. And Kurashev ended up getting a 5-game run with Bedard on the line, and I think the Hawks wanted to be consistent in keeping Bedard and Kurashev together for 5 games in a row just to see how it went, even if it was going to go a little sideways in some games. I think the constant line juggling for Connor Bedard's line mates probably impacted Connor to some degree because he wasn't able to develop some consistent chemistry with some line mates. But Kurashev has been he was a minus 27 going into this game, and that is by far the worst in the NHL. Second on that list is Roman Josi and former Blackhawk Kirby Dach in Montreal with minus 21. And so it's a six point gap between the two of them. And I think Teuvo Teravainen was second on the team with minus 13. So it's a minus 14 gap between Kurashev and the next worst Blackhawk. So hopefully this reset helps Philip Kurashev, because I think for him, he definitely needs it. And I think the Hawks are hoping that eventually when he does drop back into the lineup, that he can help produce more offensively. And maybe as the team starts to feel more confident in themselves, individually, players can start feeling like there's not so much pressure on them to produce because offense was so hard to come by over the last few weeks. Okay, we got more to get to here on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Over the Hawk line, right wing, drop past Carlson, sent it in front of the net, redirected in on goal by Protas. Söderblom is down with a butterfly save and has the puck in the crease. A standing ovation for the effort here for Arvid Söderblom. What a save!
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. It's Arvid Soderblom, one of 19 saves on the night. It was 19 saves on 21 shots for a save percentage of .905. That's now 3 wins in his last 4 starts for Soderblom. He had just 1 win in his previous 8, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yep. So nice to see him trending in that direction. He has not had any luck in the win department in his Blackhawks career, so good to see him start to stack some wins together for his confidence. Ryan Donato scored the game-winning goal for the Blackhawks, his 11th goal of the season, team lead. Let's listen in as he spoke to the media just a little bit ago.
Ryan, it seemed like on the winning goal that you almost passed the puck to yourself and then forced your way to the net and just got it in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you black out when those type of plays that happen so fast. But, you know, at that time of the game, it's sort of similar to the last play last game. You know, like, there's not much time left in the game. Just take a puck hard to the net and see what happens. And, you know, it's a blessing that goes in twice in 2 games. So,
how much you guys need this one as a group to come back from down 2-0? And
it's great because, you know, we've been in the spots where we've been up a couple goals and, you know, end up losing. So it feels good to kind of be on the other side of things and knowing that, you know, whatever the score is, I mean, could be a lot worse, right? Like, Sody played a great game, but being down a couple goals and being able to battle back just goes to show we can come back in games like that.
Why do you guys seem to fare so much better against the best teams in the league than maybe some of the bottom teams?
There's so many questions that I wish I could answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I think guys are just ready to play. It's not like we're not ready to play for other games either, but, you know, yeah, it's a great question.
Third periods have been such an issue a lot of the year, and were particularly bad those last 2 games of the road trip, and then these last 2 games to come out with a win in third periods. Is there something you guys are doing differently mentality-wise in that situation?
No, I mean, I think, you know, we simplify. Mickey made a great play, right? And then, you know, Groth puts a good shot on net, and, you know, sometimes we have those go in and sometimes we don't. But, you know, tonight they did, and, you know, if you can kind of keep up with the momentum of trying to put things in the net, eventually, you know, the floodgates will open, and you know, it feels good to kind of get a couple late and end up with a win.
You guys talk about having more grit in those high pressure moments and bearing down. Was this with your goal one of those moments where you had to do something like that to win?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, if we were up 3-0 and didn't let them score, I think we'd rather that, right, where you just bear down and give them nothing. But, you know, like you said, these are great teams that we're playing against and getting wins against, so they're obviously going to have good players make some nice plays and score some nice goals, and, you know, we just got to stay heavy on their best players, playing the right way, and, you know, it paid off for us tonight.
Seems like McKay has been more involved offensively the past couple weeks. What have you seen from him?
I mean, he's been dynamic. I mean, he can fly, make some good plays. He's really good at pulling up and hitting the late guy, and, you know, I mean, he 2 big plays at the end, and obviously getting the goal is a huge play, and he's been really good for us in the penalty kill, too, so can't say enough about his effort every night, and I'm happy to see that he got one tonight, for sure.
You know, you extended your lead to 11 goals. Is your dad finally going to give you a pat on the back for that?
I'm sure he'll talk about something else that I did wrong, but, you know, I think he's obviously, he was here tonight, actually, so it was pretty cool, and, you know, I think he'll give me a pat on the back, but then also start to talk about other things I could do better, and actually, I'd rather not have it any other way where, you know, he can tell me the truth about my game.
That's cool. Ryan Donato's dad was in the building for Donato's 11th goal of the season, extending his team lead, and also it turned out to be the game winner of the night. Let's go to Anders Sorensen, Chicago's interim head coach, and hear what he had to say about this win.
How much did these guys need a game like this where obviously they have to stay with it? You know, they were doing some good things and then to have things come through in the third for them.
Yeah, no, good point. I think that was the biggest thing, right? We stuck with it. You know, we're down 2-0, and we thought we played okay and still down 2-0, and, you know, had a lot of power plays there in the second, but just the mental part of it, just sticking with it, was huge.
Did you get a sense they were frustrated at that point? I mean, giving up 7 shots in 38 minutes and being down?
Yeah, they played last night, so maybe there's some fatigue there, but we felt like we had our game going a little bit, and we just tried to focus on our game, and we felt like going into the third, we wanted to attack the net a little bit more. We were kind of getting stuck on the outside just a little bit, so that was a big focus going into third for us.
I mean, your guys, were they frustrated that they hadn't gotten through?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I think you're always, when those your 4 power plays in a row, you don't score, right? And I think comes back to that attack mentality a little bit. We were maybe moving around a little bit too much and not taking some opportunities to shot and funnel things, even if you're on the power play, right? So something we talked about.
That penalty kill to kind of make up for the power play and get that shorthanded goal to spark things, how big was that?
Yeah, huge, huge. Yeah, everybody knows how good the penalty kill has been, and then you get a goal out of it. That's a huge bonus, obviously.
What has worked so well for the PK since you've been up here?
Yeah, again, I think it's more Diener than me for sure. He's done a really good job with those guys. He's really clear in his communication. He analyzes, and the guys know where the threats are and what it's coming from. And then I think also our habits have been really good on the PK, like breaking up a lot of things with their sticks, and posture is really good. So, yeah, it's been a lot of good things.
Sunday night we asked you about a three-point game for Teravainen and if he was going to have some confidence. He had another three-point game tonight. What have you seen from him that kind of flipped this switch in 6 points in two games?
Yeah, great question. The biggest thing with him is skating, right? Like when he's involved and engaged and playing on the interior of the ice and supporting that way, and you see some of those things he did today, I thought that's the biggest thing you notice with him. And, you know, that's what we encourage with him, and maybe that was lacking a little bit for a while there, but he seems definitely found that rhythm again now.
For Mikheyev, what's worked for him? It seems like he's been playing his best hockey the past week or so.
Yeah, very very similar to Table, right? I think they've been dynamite together too, right? Two games now, and they've really found some chemistry there. And yeah, I think with Mickey, it's a lot of it is his skating, right? He's a really good skater, and when he does drive his feet and he challenges defenders, he backs them off, and I think that's when he's at his best.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Raquel, the near half wall, sends it over to Carlson. High slot. 3:17 to go. He shoots and scores! Erik Karlsson from the high slot! And Ricard Raquel got a touch on it. A deflection for the Penguins to win it in OT.
Ah, yes, that voice you heard was WGN legend Joe Brand for Pittsburgh Penguins Radio. That's the fourth overtime winner of the season for the Penguins, who beat the LA Kings 3-2. I actually called Joe last night when he was in the middle of doing some deep prep for this game. And so Joe's had some special calls this season with the Malkin 500th goal, Crosby 600th goal, four OT winners. He nails it as always. So great to play another Joe Brand call here on the Blackhawks postgame show. All right, let's move to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be hosting the Seattle Kraken on Thursday here at the United Center at 7:30. It's going to wrap up a three-game homestand for the Blackhawks before they hit the road again. But the Seattle Kraken are actually playing the Ottawa Senators tonight, and then it's going to be the first game of a four-game road trip for Seattle when they come to town. The Kraken are not really a sexy hockey team. They don't really wow you with offensive firepower or whatever. They're kind of a stingy type team. They rely on their depth, and so it's going to be a winnable hockey game for the Blackhawks. That Seattle is 27th in 5-on-5 scoring chance differential, 27th in just shots per game with just 27. So Hawks have not won more than three games in a row since February of 2023, almost 2 years ago. If they win on Thursday, they would end that streak, and let's hope they do it here at the United Center. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich, and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Frank Ruggieri. They were led by our engineers, the captains Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and Krista Flores back at the station. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-2 Blackhawks win over the Washington Capitals. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday night.